Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masses. Break it down!
Hi, yes, everybody. Welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, here on a Thanksgiving edition of the Couch Potato Sports Show as we are sitting around getting ready for the NFL kickoff and watching the Macy's Day Parade. Been online doing a lot of indoor football research and stuff like that, that I've really enjoyed what I've been doing here today as I woke up at the crack of dawn. I went to bed at 9 o'clock, a long day, and I was up right at 6 o'clock. So I got plenty of sleep, feeling really good. And we got some big games going on today. And, to be honest, I don't want to make it sound like this is the only games that are going on this week. The reason being is that there are a lot of implications on one game that really puts a big kind of impact. And when we talk about impact, we talk about what certain teams have going on, where they're headed into the future as far as this year is concerned, where they land, what are other teams in their division doing, how and can they get back to what their storied franchise is. And, of course, I'm talking about the second game of the day, which is the Carolina Panthers and Dallas Cowboys. But earlier in the day, there's a big-time game that really affects that game. And I'm talking about a fact that when you look at the NFC and you look at the NFC East, it is crazy. That's all I can say, and that's the only thing I can say it is how crazy it is as it moves forward. So as we move forward and knowing where we are as far as the standings are concerned, and I'm going to cover that here until Cuervo gets with us and everything else. So when we are set, I missed this note here. I will see if I can find what yes, we are on now. All right, very good. Yes, and I will try to find it. But here's what I got here. When you look at the NFC East and the implications of this game, the New York Giants are 5-5. They were on the bye last week, which really the fact of the matter is that it kind of hurt them. But the results of last week, and I'm talking about Washington and I'm talking about Philadelphia, who could not get the win, like I expected, especially the Philadelphia game, it puts new light on this division as far as the Dallas Cowboys are concerned, which is the second game today. And I don't know, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles right now, you are the front office, you've got to be giving some serious consideration about who's going to coach your football team next year. And I say that because that loss last week quite possibly could have cost them a playoff spot. A huge game where they just blow it against a team that they should have no problems beating, that being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's inexcusable.
You didn't know?
But let's bring him on in.
You're going to call somebody.
That's right. Call on the man, the secret agent, man. a fine co-host of this program. It's Cuervo on a Thanksgiving morning. Happy holidays, my friend, where you are.
I appreciate it, Sonny, and happy Thanksgiving to you as well. As you're starting your day, getting ready to put the bird in the oven if it's not in there already, my day is ending. So
you've eaten your turkey, you're all full, you can't move, and Lord forbid that you have anything to do within the next 12 hours, right?
Oh, no, that is not what I'm saying. I'm actually ready to go have dinner, but as the games are starting, I'm going to go grab me a plate of food to eat, and then at that, after about halftime of the first game, then I won't be able to move.
Got it. Very good. So you're ready for the day just like everybody else. Yours is just going to hit a little early as that goes. So some interesting things that happened last week. We were talking about the games last week, Cuervo, and that Philadelphia-Tampa Bay game really put a hurting up on this Philadelphia Eagle team who have the game today against Detroit. So just to recap the effect of that game, especially Philadelphia losing to a Buccaneer team that they really should not, especially if they are trying to win the NFCs, they might have just put themselves out of contention in reality when you look at the NFC East.
Yeah, and they probably have, Sonny. And not just that, but, I mean, now I don't know if you've been hearing it back in the U.S., but, you know, from the things I've read on Facebook and whatnot, it looks like, or what sounds like, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be looking for a new head coach next year. Doesn't sound like things are going very well in Philadelphia, the marriage between Chip Kelly and the front office. So I think there's, you know, as the term says, if you peel the onion back on the Philadelphia Eagles, you may find more than what you bargained for as far as issues with this football team.
Well, there's only issues. Let's be honest, Cuervo. If this team was right now sitting after 10 games, sitting at 7-3, first of all, we would not know about issues. There would be no issues. They'd be on time and set to win this division like I predicted them to win.
Of course.
Foolishly. Yeah, exactly. Foolishly. But now that they're losing, they're 4-6, two games below 500, and quite possibly shot themselves in the foot against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, obviously, those problems are now going to start being aired because of the frustration, not just from the players, but also the front office, who are obviously talking about a change as far as Chip Kelly is concerned.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, just like any other franchise, Sonny, you know, winning takes care of everything. So, and I'll even raise the bar on this topic. Let's say a team like the New England Patriots were instead of 10-0, let's say they were 3-7. I mean, how much attention would they be getting? They, you know, just coming off of a Super Bowl championship, and let's say, you know, with all the injuries that they've had, they were 3-7. I mean, my God, I mean, the national media would be eating this team up. But
oh yeah,
they are the proof that, hey, winning solves everything. There may be internal problems with that franchise. You know, let's not mistaken, you know, the New England Patriots for they're the glorious franchise that everyone thinks they are. I'm sure they have issues within their franchise, but nobody knows about it. Why? Because like what we're saying, they're 10-0. They're the defending champs. Hey, we're just gonna let them do business, and that's how it is. So when you're losing, everything starts to, there's more attention on it. So that's what you have with the Eagles right now.
Yeah, and that's a tough one too, because you look at the Eagles and where they're, what they were trying to do with the hiring of Chip Kelly and how they were trying to restart this franchise, and you're just not getting it. In fact, makes you kind of wonder why they got rid of Andy Reid. The same results, it not that, you know, and he's over in Kansas City trying to turn around a surprising Kansas City Chiefs team. We'll talk about that actually tomorrow or on Sunday when we're talking about games this Sunday. But that having been said, Cuervo, looking at today's games, this is a big-time NFC East day, at least for the first parts of it, with Philadelphia going against Detroit and then Carolina and Dallas. And the storylines all around that one, as you have an undefeated Carolina team and the Dallas Cowboy team. Obviously, the Dallas Cowboys need to win this football game. And if you're the Carolina Panthers, you're just sitting here going, well, we just need to get through the day. And get through the day is not necessarily winning the football game. Carolina can care less if they win this football game. I believe that. But what they don't want to happen is losing vital personnel moving on further into this season, as they have a stranglehold over there on the NFC South with no one even coming close.
Yeah, and you may see players start to play less, specifically Cam Newton, guys like Luke being taken out of games and stuff like that. And that would, that obviously goes into, like you're saying, the big lead that that Carolina has. So, I don't think anybody's going to be bothered in the Panthers franchise if they lose this game today. So, as far as the Panthers are concerned, I'm sure they would like to continue to keep their foot on the gas, but it wouldn't surprise me with such a quick turnaround in the week that they look a little flat. I mean, and this is a team that has given, seems like, 110% into the season so far. I mean, it's not easy going 10-0. This is the first time they've ever done it. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Panthers do look a little flat today on the road.
And, yeah, I don't think anybody would be surprised about that or care. The simple fact of the matter is they're sitting right now with a four-game lead over the Atlanta Falcons, and they got the Atlanta Falcons in 2 weeks over on December 13th. So they're about ready to hit them up. But the fact that when you look at what Carolina has been able to put together – And you can say, you're not impressed with the wins because of who they played. And I would actually give you that argument. But the simple fact of the matter is when you're playing football teams and you have the possibility of dropping games, even against the minute, opponents, whether it's Tennessee, whether it's Washington, whether it's Tampa Bay or New Orleans, those kinds of things, you can play light in those games, and they have played light in those games. That having been said, they still got the victories. So as this game moves forward, they have Atlanta two more times this year. They got them on the 13th of December, and then they're turning around getting them 2 days after Christmas against the Atlanta Falcons, and those two games are going to be huge. One of those need to come up on their side to where if Atlanta decides to make a run, which I don't think they are, there's something wrong with the Atlanta Falcons right now to where they're not being able to put it out up on the football field on a regular basis and make a play for the playoffs, or even for that matter, make a play for that championship. It's almost like they've already succeeded to the fact that they're not going to win this division with right now how Carolina's playing, and they're definitely on track for if they make the playoffs a wild card. And frankly, to be honest, the Atlanta Falcons being four games behind, let's not forget there are six more games, and as much as Carolina's won 10 in a row, they can drop six in a row in a heartbeat, and Atlanta, if they start picking it up, put themselves in a position to try to win the South. I don't expect it, but you got to play like you're going to get it. But here in reality, when you're looking at the wild card, Minnesota and Green Bay sitting right there primed for the wild card. Seattle, if they get their heads out of their butts, which I don't think they will. I think Seattle's going to miss the playoffs now. So they are in prime to be able to make a playoff run, but they're going to have to start winning games as well as far as the Atlanta Falcons are concerned there, Cuervo.
Yeah, and that's something that Atlanta needs to pay attention to. They need to stop focusing on what's going on in their division. They need to see the NFC from a conference standpoint now. I mean, you're right, Sonny. I don't think they're going to win the division, so now it's time to focus on that wild card. See, you just got to get in. That's what the Falcons need to realize. Just get in. Even if it is the sixth seed, who the hell cares? Get in. So your competition, you have to be, you, instead of focusing on Carolina, they need to be focusing on Green Bay. They need to be focusing on Seattle, and they need to be focusing on I don't think they have to worry about the NFC East, but Green Bay and Seattle are the two teams they need to be paying close attention to, and looking at their schedule and who they're playing and whether they're winning or losing games and injuries and all this other stuff to really kind of give themselves a better understanding of, hey, do we have a chance at this playoff spot at a wild card? Because to me, like you said, I mean, that's going to be their one shot. I don't think Carolina is just going to forget how to play football and fall off the face of the earth and lose six in a row.
Exactly.
So Green Bay and Seattle are the two teams they need to keep close on their radar as far as how they're playing.
And if they don't, then that's going to be – if you watch – I'm not saying it's going to happen even in the NFC. Let's just say that the Dallas Cowboys and the Giants start winning football games on a regular basis. That wasn't a joke. It's just something I was thinking about. Okay, I don't expect it. But if they do, that will make that wild card race just a little bit more interesting as far as the Atlanta Falcons are concerned, because let's be honest, they have blown it. They have really let the ball drop right out of the bag, Cuervo. And right now, no one's talking about Atlanta because they cannot get it put together out on the football field. They haven't played well since, really in reality, since the Cowboy game when they came back into the fourth quarter. So I don't know. It seems to me that there's – go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, can you blame people, though? I mean, really, what is there to talk about with the Falcons? I mean, they seem like the same team. I mean, everybody was screaming coaching change. They make the coaching change. They're still the same team. So what really is the issue here? It seems to me like they're a very soft defensive team. I mean, they let the Colts, Matt Hasselbeck, beat them in their house, which, you know, one of us here called it. I'm not going to say who, but that is something that you cannot allow to happen. Sonny, I mean, if you're going to be an NFC threat, you have to beat teams like that in your house. I mean, it makes you wonder, what if Andrew Luck was in that game? They probably would have gotten crushed. I mean, who's to say that it wouldn't have happened? So, you know, Atlanta just seems like they don't have an identity, Sonny. You know, I mean, there's a lot of teams
that
know what they're about. You know what type of team they are. I don't know whether to buy into Atlanta is a aerosol team or when they do have a running back, they love to ground pound the football. So it's like, which one should they be known for? Which one are they known for? And I mean, you would assume with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, okay, they're a team that loves to air it out. But then Devontae Freeman comes and he starts ripping big games off. Well, okay, maybe they're a running team. And then he gets hurt. And so it's like, I don't know what to make of this team, Sonny. And the same story on defense. I mean, they're just not a very physical team. They're not very sound on defense. They still have a lot of work to do, you know. And you would think bringing in the defensive coordinator of the two-time NFC champion Seattle Seahawks would fix the problem. It hasn't done diddly squat. So I don't know if it's just a lack of talent or what the deal is, or they just don't want to play defense in Atlanta. Like, I really don't know what the issue is.
Well, let's find out from the guy that is in Atlanta, the good old boy himself, or not in Atlanta, but
just
near Atlanta,
boy.
The good old boy himself from Away in Sports Talk to find host of that program. It's Brian Tarvin here on Thanksgiving. Happy holidays, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Hope all is well with you.
everything is going well, as far as I'm concerned. You are down in Atlanta or near Atlanta. You've been getting the buzz. What's the buzz down there? I mean, we're only getting the national stuff, but locally, I bet you there, you know, this is a football team that is driving the fans completely insane, is my thinking.
Yeah, every year it's, you know, this year was going to be making the playoffs, possibly the NFC Championship game. Now they can't even beat the Colts at home. So the fans are, I mean, here in Atlanta, they expect to lose, really. I mean their hopes are up until the season starts and they lose a few games. And they realize, okay, it's the same old crap. So Cuervo's right. It's just a soft team. This team has no identity, really. The offensive line sucks. The defense is actually not that bad. Have y'all noticed an improvement in the defense?
In the secondary, I have.
You know, the offensive line, they have no running game, really. Matt Ryan is slow. He just sucks. I mean, Matt Ryan is just a bad quarterback. I'm sorry. I mean, he's terrible.
Well, when you have the weapons they have, you should – if Cuervo, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, I'm sorry. When you got – remember what this franchise did to get Julio Jones and the fact that the guy has been injured here and there, but still, no excuse not – first of all, getting him the ball. Second of all, for him not leading the NFL in yards and touchdowns as far as a wide receiver is concerned, and you're not getting any of that. You're getting I hate to say this, but – right now, when I look at Matt Ryan, who at one point you considered him an elite quarterback, quite possibly, definitely top 10 you probably thought, but man, he has just dropped off the face of the earth when it comes to getting the ball where it needs to go. And here's what I think it is, Cuervo, let me get... There is no leadership on this football team right now. I don't know. When you're looking at a Cuervo, what are you looking at? I mean, that's what I see. We're seeing that the mediocre Matt Ryan, and probably the most important, there is no on-the-field general right now, and I think that's affecting this team.
No, I mean, I definitely understand what you're saying, Sonny, and I think you're on the right track because, you know, think about it, guys. It's funny how Tony Gonzalez, a guy like Tony Gonzalez, retires, and now you have these issues with the Atlanta Falcons. So, I wonder what the difference is with a guy like Tony Gonzalez leaving, retiring, and now the team, like you said, just can't find a way to finish games off anymore.
Who's the leader on this football team? Is it Matt Ryan, or is it somebody else that maybe we're missing and not paying attention to because they're being overshadowed by losses?
I think it's nobody, and I know we're not talking college, but I look at Auburn, and I think their problem is, you know, on offense, the quarterback needs to be your leader, really. The quarterback of the team needs to be the leader that everybody turns to. Matt Ryan's just not, to me, a leader, really. He's not tough enough. I'm not buying him as a leader, and I don't think the rest of the Atlanta Falcons organization is either the players, but it's not the – I think Quinn only can do as much as Quinn can do. So you can be a leader as a coach, but you can't get on the field and play for these guys. There has to be a leader, a general on the field. Cuervo's right. The last one was Tony Gonzalez. Julio Jones is not a leader. I mean, you know, he's a wide receiver. The quarterback, Matt Ryan's a very intelligent guy, but he's just not tough. I mean, if I saw him, you know, out right now, I mean, there's no difference between him and me if you saw us. There's no leadership. He's not vocal. I think that's the problem. There's no identity on this team. There's no leadership. But Quinn's going to get his team together, I think. I really think he's a good coach. He's going to be a good coach. But I think you need a change of ownership, too, you know? I mean, let's think about this. The owner of the Atlanta Falcons, could this be kind of like a Jerry Jones situation? No, nobody ever talks about Arthur Blank.
Yeah, I think it could be, and frankly, it probably is in reality when you look at what Arthur Blank brings to the table. He sounds just like Jerry Jones half the time when he does talk. But here's a good thing. At least he doesn't do a lot of that talking, which in turn affects like the Dallas Cowboys. Whenever Jerry Jones is talking, he is really putting his team on the spot, which he needs to keep his mouth shut. But he's Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones thinks he's just the bomb. So that's where you end up having that kind of thing as you move forward. So I don't know. But that being said, we've taken a little bit. We have got an hour to go. So what we're going to do is we're going to head right into the games and start talking a little bit about the games that are up on board. We've got 40 of them. Gives us 20 minutes a team and then a couple extra minutes up on top of it. So let's go to the first game that is on board, the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a vital game for them. They're 4-6, third in the NFC East. The Detroit Lions, 3-7. They're fourth in the NFC North. You can write off the Detroit Lions as far as where they are, as far as the team is concerned. The question after that comes to, what Philadelphia team is going to show up? And you're talking about a football team that finds a way to just shoot themselves in the foot. We saw it last week, and we're seeing it as the season moves on. That this team being 4-6, it at the very, very least, they should be 5-5, if not 7-3. But they are not getting leadership. We talked about leadership as far as Atlanta is concerned. Who's the leader on this football team? There's nobody taking the stands. Their quarterback issue is a problem. This is a football team that seems to be sulking since they didn't get Marcus Mariota. And the fact of the matter is it's showing out on the football field. This last week, I picked the Philadelphia Eagles to lose. I picked Tampa Bay. Because more than the fact is that they're not showing that testicular fortitude that they need to do each and every week to get the wins against teams that they should be able to beat. And when you talk about the Detroit Lions and the Philadelphia Eagles, Cuervo, you're looking at this game and go, God, this should be easy, the Philadelphia Eagles. But contraire, mon frere, look what the Lions did last week. Since they're out of it, now we're seeing the Lions team maybe have a resurgence because they're out of it and people are playing for contracts. And this is the worst case scenario of Thanksgiving Day with the Philadelphia Eagles in Detroit, Cuervo. Let me see if Cuervo's on mute or if we lost him. Cuervo, you're on mute if you're not there.
Can you hear me, guys?
There he is. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead, Cuervo.
No, yeah, it's my reception's cutting out pretty bad, guys. I from what I got, you're asking about this Eagles-Lions game. You were saying that it would be an easy it should be an easy pick. But, and, you know, at first I wanted to pick Philadelphia, but, man, I don't know. I mean, just things that I keep hearing about the Eagles, it's not good. And I know Detroit has their own issues as well. But, yeah, I mean, how can you pick either one of these teams?
Yeah.
Really, I mean, both of these teams are dumpster fires in reality. I mean, you got the Eagles who – you know, all the talent in the world can't do anything with it. You got the Lions who don't even you know, they're not playing for their coach. They can't wait till next year to see who the new coach is going to be. So a dumpster fire playing another dumpster fire. I really don't know what to expect in this game, guys. I mean, this could be an ugly way to start Thanksgiving football.
Well, I'll tell you, this is... Go ahead there, Tyron. Jump in.
The only thing I see different is, I'm sorry, that the Eagles actually are a game out of first place. And that's the only difference I can see. Detroit's four games out, they're done. I mean, this division with Green Bay, Minnesota, and Chicago, they're not going to find their way back up to the top. But the Eagles actually could be in first place with a win today, you know, and things work out right. So that's the only edge I would give Philadelphia, is there's still something to play for, where Detroit, there's nothing to play for, which, again, I could say that means no pressure on Detroit. and it's Thanksgiving Day, but something's wrong with Philly, guys. Something is wrong. I think Chip Kelly is going to come to college. I think he's going to come back to college because it's just not working out for him. You know, every year it comes by, his defense is getting worse and worse. He needs to be back in college because that offense, it doesn't take long to figure it out, does it, guys? Especially when you don't have a quarterback to be able to call the plays. So I think Chip Kelly's in trouble. I think he's going to jump ship. And I think his players can actually sense the fact that he may be going to jump ship. That could be a problem right now.
Absolutely. And the mentality going into this game, as far as you look at Detroit, they've won two in a row. Last week they win, which they shouldn't have won, but they did. And one, the fact that now players now see where their football team is, okay? They can't make the playoffs. And conspiracy couch, I'm telling you they did this on purpose. The players did this on purpose. And I'm talking about the guys that make the plays. I'm not talking about your second guy or your third guy as a team. I'm talking about the leaders on this football team. They never liked Caldwell. They never liked that pick. They never liked the fact that since they picked him, now they have all kinds of problems with the GM. All that's been cleared out except for the coach. What are they going to do, fire the coach season after they cleaned house on top? No, the new guy's going to come in, hire a new coach, they're going to keep the guy. So they accomplished what they wanted to do. They wanted a fresh start. They wanted new coaching. They're going to get it next year. The simple fact of the matter is now they can go out and try to win football games when it doesn't matter. And there is no team more, I don't want to say deadly, but more potent is a football team that's out of it but has that talent. You can say what you want about Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson and these guys, but they have the talent, they have the connection. I think they dropped the ball on purpose. Now, nothing to lose, let's put it together. Caldwell isn't going to be rehired, even if they start winning football games at the end of the season. And if a new GM notices that, they need to fire him immediately. The first order of business when they walk in the door, as far as the GM is concerned in the Detroit Lions, is fire the coach and get a new one, because if you keep the one that's on there, I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to cause even more of a stir as far as the players are concerned. Now they can go out on a Thanksgiving Day, no worries, and go up against a team that if they don't win, you can pretty much write them off, because I've got some theories a little bit later on some of the other teams that are in this division over in the NFC East. So that having been said, Cuervo, I cannot see how you could look at this Philadelphia team and go, oh, yeah, this is it. This is how they're going to do it and why they're going to do it. The fact is that you don't know what's coming from Philadelphia. That's the reason why you can't pick them.
And I'll give you another reason why, because things don't go well for Mark Sanchez on Thanksgiving Day games. So take that for what it's worth, guys.
So as I look at it, I was making drink coffee. So as I'm looking at this, you know, it's not the fact that the Detroit Lions are the greatest thing to come along since fruit punch. It's not. They are not the best. You know, the rumors swirling around regarding both of these coaches, not just Chip Kelly, but Jim Caldwell, as we're talking about, they may not make it. So this game right here, you know, a coach is actually paying for his job. But really, in reality, I look at the coaches don't care either. I go back to Rex Ryan last year. Rex Ryan threw that season after they started off as bad as they did. He said, well, hell with it. I'm going to have a job next year anyway. So, yeah, the same, but not the same thing here. There's some coaches playing for their careers now. And I'm talking about Jim Caldwell. There's only so many chances this guy is going to get to make a team a winner unless he ends up being a coordinator, which is exactly what he was. We've talked about it on this show. He's not a head coach. He's a great coordinator. But at the same time, you got to have someone to lead. There's no leaders today. This is just some guys playing in the backfield or in the backyard. They just happen to be an NFL football team, and the best guys and the best talent are on the Detroit Lions side as well. So when you throw all that out the window, you got to, I mean, there's no reason to pick the Eagles as far as to win. Now, I don't know what the line is because I don't care. Because this game no one should be betting on. If they're doing it, they're crazy. That having been said, I'm going to go ahead. I'm taking the Detroit Lions at home, better talent, and a team that has no direction, not that the Lions do, but at least they got the better talent on that side of the field, Tarvin. So who are you going to pick, Tarvin, in this game?
I'm going to take the quarterback and the offense, the better
skilled players, and that's the Detroit, and they're home. So it's Thanksgiving Day. They're familiar with playing every Thanksgiving. So, I mean, I think Stafford and company get it done.
Okay, Philadelphia has allowed three problems as far as they move into this game, and one of it is surrendering a lot on the ground, never mind in the air, and special teams have been horrible for this Philadelphia team. Now they go up against the Lions who are not much better. Who do you think, Cuervo? Who's your pick for today's game?
Yeah, Sonny, I'm gonna go with you guys. We'll make a clean sweep, and we're all taking the Detroit Lions. Like I said, I mean, you know, Mark Sanchez. I don't. All joking aside, you know, with the butt fumble reference that I just made, I think he's familiar with the offense yet, and I think that's a big reason why they played so poorly against Tampa Bay last week. You know, and I don't think an extra 4 days really is enough. I mean, you got to give him a couple of weeks. I mean, remember, this guy was on Shapes and Colors in New York. So,
yep.
You know, I mean, that's – and I don't know if that's a Rex Ryan thing or a Mark Sanchez thing, but, you know, I in all honesty, I just don't think he still has had enough time to learn the offense and really have it down to where he's comfortable with it. So because of that, I like Detroit to win, and it's not because they're a better team. It's just they're the more consistent team right now. I mean, they have their quarterback, and they have their offense, and they have, you know, guys that are familiar with their roles. So, yep, I like the Lions as well.
It's just a better football team right now. So next game up, that's up on the board. And this one, and a lot of NFC portions of it. And this is actually a great game for the Carolina Panthers. And I say this, you're talking about team is 10-0. They're running away with this division, okay? The fact that the Carolina Panthers will drop a game, I don't think everybody's going to jump ship like they did, you know, regarding Green Bay, because I don't think it will take long for the Carolina Panthers to win their next game. That having been said, they're going up against the Dallas Cowboy team, and you can talk whatever you want. I hate this football team, and the fact that they are sitting right now 3-7, only two games out of first place in that division. And if they make a run on this, with as bad as New York can play at times, and Philadelphia and Washington really just are not a football, when you got the elite quarterback, and I'm talking elite because, frankly, I've dropped Eli Manning is a guy that has been able to make his stats, you know, look good because of playing from behind and just not being a good football team. Simple as that. I mean, you can sit there and say, well, look at all the yards he throws for. Yeah, look at how much of it is in garbage play. Look how much when it doesn't matter, at least lately. That having been said, Tony Romo did not play good at all last week. But guess what? This is a guy that figured out how to get the victory. And huge as you want, but he might have been able to shake off enough rust to be able to go up against this Carolina Panther team. And I will tell you, I don't know. When I look at this game, I don't see anything wrong with Carolina Panthers losing this football game. I mean, I'm not about ready to jump ship on Cam Newton. Cam Newton has definitely impressed me. Because when you're 10-0, you can be, in reality, playing all the worst teams in the NFL. If the worst teams are all your schedule, you still manage to figure out a way to get 10 wins without dropping one or two here because of lack of concentration or effort. You see that in teams that do that. I just haven't seen that. So when they're going up against the Dallas Cowboys, who are so hugely desperate to be able to make the playoffs, or for all that matters, obviously they got to win the division because I don't think any other team is going to come out of the NFC East. So Cuervo, this is a team, as far as the Cowboys are concerned, go to desperate, and this is not the worst team playing desperate. Carolina, they don't have a care in the world, except for the fact that they want to get off the field without any injuries. They don't care if they win this game, but they care if they lose Cam Newton. They care if they lose vital personnel out on the football field. Cuervo.
I mean, Yeah, I mean, to an extent, I agree, Sonny. I'll give you a reason why I think they do want to win this game. And it's not because of the division. You have to look at the overall picture here. So the closest competition that they have in the NFC would be, if I'm thinking right, Arizona, I think, is at 8-2.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Carolina needs to play for. And Tarvin may not agree because he's a Panthers fan. He may not agree with this. But I'm going to tell you right now, what Carolina needs to play for is home field throughout the playoffs. And
Amen.
The only way to do that is to
Amen.
To secure that number one spot. And they're not, if they've got Arizona in their rearview mirror, they need to do what they can to step on the gas a little bit more and make sure that they're not in that rearview mirror anymore.
Well said, Cuervo.
You know,
that's perfect. You're right. That's exactly right.
So that's my take on it. But Sonny is obviously that's the even more important thing. I mean, you can't win if you lose certain guys. So hopefully Ron Rivera is smart. If the Carolina Panthers are up 35-17 in the fourth quarter, I would hope to see Derek Anderson in the game, just like last week. So let's hope that he continues the same mentality and they keep Cam off the field if he's not needed, and everything is good for the Panthers. So, but I do think Carolina wants to win this game, Sonny, just for that reason that they need to make sure that they secure that number one spot in the NFC.
I think your thinking is absolutely the way they should be thinking, without question, because you say what you want. If Arizona gets the home field advantage, I'm going to tell you right now, they might just make the Super Bowl in the NFC. I'm telling you right now, and I'm not a great big Arizona fan because I'm not a Carson Palmer believer yet, even though he's done what he's done. That having been said, the Carolina Panthers, I don't think they can go into Arizona and beat them. I don't. But if the Carolina Panthers are at home, they have a 70% chance of getting that victory there. So it is huge for this game, especially why? Because it's an NFC foe. I mean, you're looking at a football team where both teams are in the NFC, so it definitely is going to put that notch for the Carolina Panthers, yet another win within their conference, as right now Carolina is 6-0 in their conference. They become 7-0, and no one's even close. Green Bay's 5-2 right now, and that's the only teams that are close when it comes to that. Well, there's 5-1 at Arizona and 5-4 Seattle, but Seattle is pretty much, I almost got a fork in that football team. But looking at this game, Tarvin, this is your guy. This is your Cam Newton. I'm putting the head coaching hat on your head. You know, frankly, I don't think this is going to be a blowout by any stretch to where Cam Newton can come out of the game in order for him to get the victory. I think it's going to be close throughout.
Yeah, I do too. And there's not many chances you get to play on a stage like this. This is in Dallas, Thanksgiving Day. There's a chance for Cam Newton just to make believers out of people that really don't believe in him. And to me, he's got my MVP vote right now for what he's done. But Tony Romo he's top five, period. He's a great quarterback. And I'm interested to see how he plays. But I'm also worried about the camaraderie in the locker room of Dallas with Greg Hardy and Dez Bryant and all these little bitches they have on that team. I'm hoping Carolina comes in and waxes them. But I'm just worried that Carolina's starting to get a little dinged up from the style of play they play. And on short rest right like this, I look for them to struggle today a little bit. I hope they can pull it out, but they're very physical, and they hurt themselves sometimes. And I don't know how important it is to them. I mean, losing this game's not going to kill them, but like Cuervo said, they need to stay as far ahead of Arizona as they can. But I'm still a believer that Carson Palmer is going to get hurt any day now. It's coming.
Absolutely. And that was my thinking when I think about Arizona. And the fact that, talk about the worst case scenario last year. He signs the big contract and literally gets hurt 18 hours later after he signs the contract, 18 hours, he's gone for the year, and the Arizona out the pocket. Now, I will give them this. They're at least getting their money's worth, because an Arizona Cardinal team that's 8-2, and you're the Arizona Cardinals or you're an Arizona Cardinal fan, you're finally saying it's about time, because we haven't had anything since Kurt Warner. This is at least a competitive football team, and defensively. But that having been said, when you look at Carolina, there's a lot of side stories here, and I don't think there's even a side story about Greg Hardy and the Panthers giving up on him. Hell, if you're Greg Hardy, you should be thinking, man, I'm lucky to be playing in the NFL. I mean, they had to let me go. So I don't think there's any, you know, oh, I'm going to get back at the Carolina Panthers for letting me go crap. I don't think that's even an issue in this game.
I disagree 100%, Sonny.
You do? Go ahead. Jump in.
I think Greg Hardy is coming after Cam today.
Bring his little
Carolina
pussy
better
ass
be careful.
Home. Bring his pussy
Carolina
ass
better
home.
Be careful what you wish for, Tarvin. I'm telling you, Greg Hardy is coming for Cam. I don't care what their relationship was when he was there. And it's not even about Cam. It's about, you gave up on me. This is what you're missing out on now. Okay? Despite all the stuff that's going on about him, I mean, I'm telling you, the adrenaline is going to be pumping for that guy. Carolina better watch for him. They better know. They better identify when he's on the field. Because I'm telling you, it's like a revenge. It's like what we saw last year with Steve Smith when he went off against Carolina in that game and had one of the more, you know, one of the better games of the season that we saw for a wide receiver against his old team. It's going to be,
right.
I think it's going to be the same thing with Greg Hardy. His motor is going to be going, Sonny, and it's not going to stop till the clock says zero.
Oh, hell.
Well, here's the thing.
Don't believe me then.
No, I'm just talking about, I just can't stand him because he hits women, man. I just hate the guy.
Well,
and I'm with you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Here's
yeah, go
thing.
Ahead.
I hope he breaks his damn leg first play.
I look at this game. I know Greg Hardy is not the brightest bulb in the package. I get that. I completely understand that. But I don't think he's too far gone to know that he's lucky to be playing in the NFL. More than the fact that I look at this whole game, Greg Hardy is Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy plays balls to the wall. Now, he's going to give you the stupid answers or the now political answers that they've been trying to push on him to say the right one. It's all about the next game, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to tell you something about Greg Hardy. I don't think it has anything to do with Carolina or Cam Newton. I think it has to do with everything that he has got to work for next season. Where's he? Because the Dallas Cowboys could be done with this guy. But if you don't think for 2 seconds that some team won't be desperate enough to pick up this guy, okay, I'm going to tell you, some team is going to do it, and he's that motor player. And it don't matter that it's Cam Newton. I don't think this guy, even if he's pissed off at you, he's going to still play the same way, which is balls to the wall, like he hates everybody. So I don't think there's much of a relationship thing that has to be done there, because I think if you're Greg Hardy, you got to look at it and see things as business, more so than personal. I think he had, because obviously he only got one contract offer, and that contract offer came from Dallas. So he's lucky to be playing. So when you think about business and where he is, he's got to make sure that he puts the motor on. Now, is there a little bit of incentive? I would think there might be. But I don't think that's what's going to draw Greg Hardy to be a good player here today. I think he's just that good. He may be a bitch, and he might be able to hit his women around, but you say what you want. That guy's got a motor to the quarterback, and it don't matter if you're Sam Bradford, it don't matter if you're Sanchez, it don't matter if you're Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. He hates you evenly. I don't think there's even more hate because of the franchise that he came from, because I don't think he's stupid enough to realize that they couldn't keep him. That having been said, it could have a little effect, but I don't think it's that much. I really don't, because just the way, even though he answered the questions, I'm all about the next game, he's all about the next sack, where it's going to come from. And if he gets 30 opportunities against Cam Newton, he's going to take it. Now, do I think that if he has a clear line to Cam Newton and he won't pop him one,
I don't put that past Greg Hardy.
Good luck trying to hit a 6'6", 250-pound guy. Good luck, Greg.
Oh, come on. Wait. Now, Cam Newton has shown that he could be Fragile Fred at any given point in his career there, Tarvin. You hit this guy the right way, and you can have that guy done for the season. And that, you know, say what you want, but Cam
Newton. A car wreck couldn't stop him, man. He flipped that car 20 times, and he still played.
Oh, I don't know. Cuervo, I mean, am I thinking wrong? I mean, I think Cam Newton is a Fragile Fred at the quarterback position. And if he's, and here's one of the things. If he starts running toward Greg Hardy, that'll be a problem. He better run away from him. But if he runs toward Greg Hardy, he's going to be like a rabid dog after him regardless. I mean, I think because he's the quarterback, he's there. But if he gets that free shot on him, I don't put it past Hardy.
No, I wouldn't either, and you know, I mean, I don't think Cam's that dumb to run towards him. I mean, nobody's that dumb, but
RG3.
Yeah, I think for a while, Cam was a little fragile just because he was still recovering from that car accident. But I don't think he's a fragile guy. I mean, he's one of the very few guys that are mobile quarterbacks who has been staying healthy. I mean, all the other mobile quarterbacks that you see in the league haven't been able to stay healthy. Him and Russell Wilson, those are the only two. Everybody else just can't seem to keep it together.
I'm not necessarily sure about that. This is just on me. Sonny's mind, I can definitely forget.
You're a Cam hater.
No. I want Cam to lose this game because it doesn't mean anything. But I want to see Cam Newton. I think he's come to age. I finally admitted it. Even though you look at the teams that they have played, and the simple fact of the matter is, let's be honest, okay? They haven't played a team. You know, I think you add up the teams that they've played, and they're not even at 500. Not even close at 500. Their records against the teams that they played. That having been said, that could be a mark, but I think you still have to have some kind of testicular fortitude in order to win 10 games against the crappiest teams that are out there. So
yeah.
I think it's there, and I think he's got that, and I think he might have what I call the mojo. I think he might have it. He might be the first quarterback that can be that running threat that can really be successful in the NFL. I mean, there are only so many Randall Cunninghams out there. Okay, Randall Cunningham could get the job done. Steve Young could get the job done. Okay, those are quarterbacks that could get that done because of the dual threat at the right time. And what maybe Cam Newton is doing this year compared to the many years in the past is that he's making those decisions better now because of the experience, because he knows the speeds of the NFL, because he has been somewhat healthy the last two seasons. So when you see Cam maturing, and we're seeing this guy mature right in front of our eyes, and I hate to admit it because to a point I'm not a Cam hater. I'm just more the fact of this type of quarterback hater, more so than just Cam there, Tarvin.
Yeah. Well, I look at the guy. He has matured a lot. He's cocky, but that's a part of his game. That's who he is personally. So he's not doing anything out of the ordinary there. That's just what he did in college. It's what he did in high school. But let me tell you one thing that I've noticed is with Cam Newton, the game has slowed down. Like when he first came out of college, he did play well at times, but then he played bad at times. But now the game has slowed down. It looks like they built this offense around Cam Newton because, God, he doesn't have any any weapons really around him. We have Jonathan Stewart and Greg Olsen, and sometimes Funchess can come up with a catch or whatever. But he's developing confidence. But his arm strength, he doesn't have the same throwing motion on each throw. It's always sidearm, it's three-quarter, quarter, whatever he wants to do to make the pass. And he's not taking those chances of trying to squeeze it in as much as he used to. He's throwing it out of bounds and punting, and I think that's the reason why I've seen the growth of Cam Newton. And I told you guys, he's going to be a top-five quarterback. It's not going to be this year, but after this year, you're going to see a top-five quarterback in Cam Newton just because of the game.
I don't think I disagree with you.
I don't think I disagree with you there. I think Cam Newton has taken that step that he has to. You know, the first two seasons he was injured. He missed 8 games in his first 2 seasons. The last 3 years he's played all 16, although I think not last year, but the year before he was still hurt a little bit and just got through the season. Take away from that, you got to be if you're a Cam Newton fan, you got to be happy with what you're seeing out on the football field. 2,283 yards total passing. Okay, you don't need Cam Newton to be the 3,000-yard or 3,500, 4,000-yard passer. You need him to be around in between 3,300 and 3,500 yards passing, and let the running game, which by the way is still there even though they got injuries, they still got a running game as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and when I'm looking at this game and I look at the Dallas Cowboys, as much as what they're fighting for, Cuervo, if this team does not stop the running game, whether it's Cam deciding to take off and do what he does, but if he's on the, if this Dallas Cowboy gives up the big plays on a rushing play, you can turn off the lights quite early, because you say what you want, there's some speed running the football here in Carolina there, Cuervo.
Yeah, there is, Sonny. I mean, they've got, like Tarvin said, I mean, obviously we all know what Jonathan Stewart's about. We all know what Cam Newton's about. But, you know, they have who's their backup now, Tarvin? Isn't it still Barner?
Cameron Artis.
From Oregon?
Cameron Artis Payne is one of them, and that's what I was going to tell you guys about. Is I'm worried about this short week with Jonathan Stewart, and Sonny may be right. They don't care if they win, but you want to play to win, but I don't think you play Jonathan Stewart as much.
I agree.
Because I'm worried about his health. I'm worried about him. Because he's a straw that stirs the drink on that offense. I know Cam's important. He's the man. But if Jonathan Stewart's not in that backfield, Cam Newton is not as effective, I'm telling you.
That's good. He's just as important as Cam Newton is.
He's just as important. But I think you want to say short week. I think the fact that this is a short week, I agree with you, Tarvin. I come up with a mystery illness for Jonathan Stewart and say, stay in your street clothes. You can come along, but stay in your street clothes. You're absolutely right. In this game, with the quick turnaround that they've got to turn around and do, you got to play Cam Newton. There's no question. But really, because you got Cam, that guy's going to make plays. You know, you lose some plays without having Jonathan Stewart in uniform. You get that. But let those guys take the hits. Okay, that's what you're in. Not only that, they'll get that game experience that they'll need in case Jonathan Stewart does go down. I think you earmark this game for backup running backs and leave Jonathan Stewart on the side. Exactly, because Greg Olsen, I think you might have to have him at least to give a better option for Cam, but I'm not playing Greg Olsen this whole game. There is absolutely no way, because by halftime you'll get an idea of where you're going. If you're offensively going, then you might decide to keep him in the third quarter and be done with it at the fourth, if they have that type of – but here's the thing. Right now, Dallas, as far as the defensive side of the ball, is they give up big plays. But I will tell you, if they don't get those big plays, this defense is going to be right in your face. You remember, on those games that they've lost, those 7 games in a row, they didn't lose too many more than 7 points. And not only that, they're at home, and Tony Romo. If Tony Romo is in those 7 games, they go 5-2. Okay, worst-case scenario. I mean, and we saw what he does as far as the offense is concerned. Even when he messes up, he's still that better quarterback, that can get him back in the game. They had 3 turnovers last week, and 2 of them came from Tony Romo. So when you have Tony Romo and you have a different mentality for the Dallas Cowboys, this is a tough game to pick, and it just depends on what the mentality of the coaching staff is concerned as far as Carolina going into this. If they decide that they say, hey, 10 in a row is great, if we drop this one, we don't care, I think the Dallas Cowboys get the victory here. But here's another thing.
if they are going to put the pedal to the metal, this is an NFC football team. They get the victory. They just get that one more further up on St. Louis. It is all about the mentality of the team, but with the quick turnaround, I think they're very willing to lose this game and not really have any kind of heart attack. So I'm actually going to go with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think in a regular week that the Dallas Cowboys get this victory. I just don't think they do. But in this case, as far as what could be bringing on the field today, not like if it was a Sunday game, but today, I think that the Carolina Panthers would win if it was Sunday. The fact that it's a short week, I go with Dallas, not because they're a better team. It's just the short week. Cuervo, who you got in this game? Cuervo.
Yeah, you know, Sonny, it's hard to it's hard to disagree with the points that you're making, because it does kind of have that feeling of, you know, Carolina's coming off of a short week. I mean, Dallas is too, but I mean, you know, it's a short week for both teams. Carolina's 10-0. The only thing I would say about Arizona or about Carolina not just, you know, giving this game away is Arizona plays San Francisco on Sunday, and they've got about a 98% chance of beating the 49ers. So if Carolina loses, they'll go to 10-1. If Arizona wins, they'll go to 9-2. Now the gap starts to close a little bit. And, you know, you don't necessarily start worrying or you're concerned, but what that can do is you start to lose a little momentum if you're the Carolina Panthers. So that's the only thing that's got me concerned about Carolina. So I really, really have a gut feeling that Dallas is going to win this game. But on the record, I'm going to say Carolina will allow Cam Newton, as Tarvin said, it's almost like campaigning for the Heisman Trophy again. This is going to be his coming out party, I think, today. And, you know, he's going to show America on national television that he is a quarterback that can take his team to the next level and really make a statement in the NFC. So, Tarvin, I'm going to go with your Panthers, man. I think they're going to win today, and I think it's going to be closer than people think.
And they could put a nail in the coffin there, Tarvin. They could put a nail in the Cowboy coffin today with a victory.
Well, Sonny, you made something. You said something just a minute ago that just triggered something about the big plays of Dallas. Now, If Carolina doesn't play that ground-and-pound physical game, maybe they don't want to. Maybe they use Cam's arm to hit some big plays downfield to get away with a win here without really getting hurt or beat up too much. But I saw Greg Olsen take a couple of cheap shots last week. I think he has a concussion. I saw Jonathan Stewart almost get his leg broken off a cheap shot. So you have to worry right now, if you're Carolina, about these cheap shot artists for the Dallas Cowboys. But I'm gonna say Cam throws for 300 yards today, and they get a field goal victory at the end of the game. Carolina moves to 11-0, but I'm still scared of Tony Romo, guys. Dallas is undefeated with him as the quarterback this year, so.
That was my next point. When you take Dallas, you take Tony Romo. You know, they're 3-0. Like I said, during the games that they were lost, the seven games, at worst, this team was going to go 5-2. I mean, because Tony Romo in those situations gets you at least another touchdown, and especially in the games where they only scored, you know, single digits. I mean, it's ridiculous that a Dallas Cowboy team goes single digits, even with a backup quarterback that having been fed, it happened, and he is just that good. And one thing between Tony Romo from the past, the Romo coaster, it's kind of narrowed out a little bit. It's not as bad, but with the fact that it's desperation time for the Arizona Cardinals, will he feel like he has to put this on his shoulders to get the victory? And that's when the Romo coaster comes out. And right now, I don't think he feels that way. I think he feels that he can get some production from his running game, from the offensive line, and the fact that they just looked like a better team with Tony Romo out on the football field. So, you know, this is going to be an interesting game. By the way, you mentioned San Francisco. I want to tell you something. There was a press conference after the San Francisco 49er game. Nobody from the media showed up for Blaine Gabbert's press conference that they have each and every game after. Nobody from the media showed up. It became a story because the media person jumped out and said that no one showed up. So the media person became the reporter. That just goes to show that nobody in San Francisco is worried about Blaine Gabbert being the savior over there for them, as Arizona is going to be meeting them. So that is a huge thing as well, because I'll tell you right now, Arizona, the timing of getting a football team such as the San Francisco 49ers today, especially with the deal what you're talking about with Carolina running away with the NFC, they're happy to be on the road to San Francisco. So that's going to be a real interesting situation as well. So that pretty much covers it. I have Dallas. You guys have Carolina. It's going to be a good game, and I think it does come down to the wire. So next one up on tap here. As we have plenty of time to cover the last game. Three games on tap, and Green Bay Packers at home taking on the Bears. And say what you want about the Chicago Bears, okay? This is not a good football team at all. They lost last week, which I didn't think that was any great big surprise, but I've seen a little bit of improvement on the field from the Chicago Bears. I've seen a different attitude out on the field with the Chicago Bears. I've also seen guys step up when guys go down for the Chicago Bears. So I'm trying to pump up a reason for the Chicago Bears to get the victory in Lambeau. But as much as all the improvements I'm seeing, Cuervo, I don't know, as far as the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers, you know, on a short week, that's an advantage to the team that's not good. I believe that. So looking at this game, Cuervo, your Bears in Green Bay playing Lambeau, Thanksgiving, all eyes on them in prime time. What do you think about the Bears?
Well, Sonny, you mentioned you're trying to get pumped up to believe in why the Bears will win this game. Do me a favor. I mean, unless you're trying to work up an appetite for dinner, save your energy, because it's going to be really hard to give you a convincing reason to pick the Bears in this game. I mean, you know, I will say this. Matt Forte will be playing tonight. So that is one thing to look forward to, but we still don't have Alshon Jeffrey. We still don't have Pernell McPhee, the linebacker. We don't have Kyle Fuller. So, you know, you take one step forward with the Bears, but then you got to take two steps back. So
right.
You get one guy back, but now you lost other guys. So, you know, not to make excuses, but man, I feel for teams in the past that have had to deal with multiple injuries, key injuries, now I know what it feels like as a fan of
yep.
a team that's going through that, because that's what the Bears are going through right now. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey played, I think, four games this year. Matt Forte hasn't played since, October. So,
yeah.
It's rough. It's rough to watch as a Bears fan this year.
Yep.
How the team is doing. The one consistent thing, believe it or not, Sonny, the one thing I will say is at least we have Jay Cutler still healthy. I mean,
yep.
Say what you want about him, and people can bash him if they want, and that's fine. And I'm a guy that has, you know, given up on trying to defend him. But, you know, I will say but I will say this. At least he stayed healthy, and at least
yep. –
he has given the Bears opportunities to win games, just like last week. I mean, he got them down the field. They couldn't get the two-point conversion, so they lose by 2 points. And, you know, they take the loss to Brock Osweiler and the Denver Broncos. So, but, you know, the one thing that I am pleased with this year, if anything, is the defense. The defense looks like they halfway know what they're doing. They gave up, you know, 17 points
to, you know, a team that still has a lot of talent, even without Peyton Manning in,
yep.
in the lineup. I mean, this is still a loaded football team offensively when you're talking about the Denver Broncos. So to only give up 17 points, I think, was pretty impressive. So, but we all know what happened last year when they went to Lambeau Field. It was ugly. Can we say double nickel? Yeah, that's what happened in Lambeau last year. So,
yep.
I don't want to see that again, or else we're gonna be making phone calls to see if Dan Hampton and Steve Mungo McMichael are still available.
Definitely. And here's the bad thing that happens today. Okay, you thought it was last week, but it's this week. The Brett Favre jersey is going to be retired.
It is tonight.
It's
yeah,
tonight.
I saw that.
And then you got that up on top of it. So the Green Bay Packers spirit of ass kicking in Lambeau will be there, because you say what you want about Brett Favre, whether or not he was good, he is Packers, Packers, Packers. I mean, so you get that extra added juices that are going to be flowing through everybody's body, because say what you want, you can hate Brett Favre for going to the Minnesota Vikings, but no one considers Brett Favre a Minnesota Viking ever. So that being said, you got the spirit of Brett Favre up on top of it coming into play here, and that just really, you know, gets the juices running for Aaron Rodgers, who were about ready to try to make a run. The Packers are 7-3. They win, they're 8-2. This team's in the playoffs, and forget about the Arizona Cardinals. You're 8-3. You still got to worry about the Green Bay Packers as well, depending on what Carolina does in the NFC and the Arizona Cardinals. They have to continue with what they're doing, and the wife is doing the Brett Favre dance, because she is a Brett Favre fan, she is a Packer fan, you know, and the love that's coming from the kitchen while making turkey. Yeah, I know. And you and me being Chicago Bear fans, you know, she got the plaque in the garage that says for Green Bay Packer fan parking only. I don't even park in the garage. I'm not even allowed to. So there you go. how the Packers
what?
Are much loved here in my home, coming from Mrs. Couch as we move forward. So an interesting game. I mean, we can sit here and talk about it, but really, in reality, this is a game where you take a look at quarterbacks, and we know Aaron Rodgers is better. Okay, you take a look at the defenses. That's where this game's going to be won or lost, because either Jay Cutler's going to have a good day, or it's going to be Aaron Rodgers having a good. This game is all about what defense shows up to play. Because, like you said, Cuervo, and I'll give you credit, I was about ready to say it, you stole a little of my thunder, but the fact of the matter is, Jay Cutler started every single game, has not been on. He's been sacked a lot, but not as bad as he has been in the past. He kept them in that game, in reality, where they had to go down there and score the touchdown, which is crazy when you think about Jay Cutler and his talents, which are not much. But he got the ball down there, and they scored the touchdown. I don't care how they did it, they got it done. And when you got a team that can take a look at the excitement that can happen out on the football field, the problem is that the fact is, the spirit of Brett Favre will be in the building, might be enough alone to beat the Chicago Bear fan Chicago Bear team here this week, Cuervo. Cuervo, mute.
Yeah, sorry about that, Sonny. Yeah, I do mute myself because I know a lot of times there's echoing
yes.
with the phone calls. But, yeah, and, I mean, it's not just the spirit of Brett Favre, but, I mean, I would imagine if they're going to retire his jersey, he's going to be in the building. So you're going to have Favre and Rodgers in the building tonight.
He's already there.
So,
I've seen it on the NFL channel. He's already there.
Yeah, so this could be a very bad night for Bears fans. And, you know, lucky for some people, my wife, Mrs. Cuervo, I'm not allowed to have alcohol. So, and if I was home, I'm sure it would be a long night for me. So, luckily for her, she doesn't have to deal with all that. And you know, I can't drink alcohol out here. So, it's gonna be a long, sobering night if the Bears, you know, wind up giving up another 50 burger with Brett Favre in the building.
Cuervo, just real quick on the Packers. Eddie Lacy comes back, has his best game of the season, 100 yards on 22 carries. James started the two games that before that. Who do you keep in the lineup? I mean, obviously now I'm nitpicking, but at the same time, I thought James Starks looks. And yes, we have a lot of fun with Eddie Lacy. Okay, being, you know, put a Twinkie in front of him, he'll get you 2 yards. The simple fact of the matter is, James Starks looks like the better running back as far as what he can bring. Now, he may not get all the yards, and I'll put that there, but he's more in that traditional role. But I think I leave Eddie Lacy out of this game because of the short week, and you give Starks yet another chance. I mean, so I don't know. I mean, do we see Eddie Lacy this week, or do we see more James Stark today?
Well, I think it all depends on, you know, who the hotter hand is, I guess you can say. And if you said that Eddie Lacy had the better game last week, then that's probably who I would expect to see more of in this game. So I'm almost sure that we're probably going to see more of Eddie Lacy tonight.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't know if I put him in there. And here's what I'll say, Cuervo. What I will say is that if they have Eddie Lacy in the lineup today, they're not worried about him getting hurt because they trust what Starks can do behind them. And so I think that's huge. What they think, how they feel about James Starks will be component on whether or not how much playing time he gets today. And frankly, I think if we have Eddie Lacy out of the game, that's telling you where they value that running back position. Me personally, I go ahead and I start Eddie Lacy because the fact of the matter is they feel comfortable with the backup position in reality. But if they sit Lacy, that's telling you something about the coaching staff and how they feel. So that's just one of the side notes that I didn't think anybody would take a look at or find out about, because here's one thing. When I look at the Green Bay Packers and how they're going to finish this season and if they make the playoffs or how they're going to make the playoffs, they have to have a running game because they cannot put the weight, like they always traditionally do, on the shoulders of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I mean, I think they could put a lot of it, though, Sonny. But, you know, like you said, I mean, and it's not even just about Aaron Rodgers and the age or anything. But I think it's also another thing where when you get to the postseason, everybody knows, everybody expects Aaron Rodgers to, you know, be that guy that's going to throw for 400 yards or whatever to keep them in games. But here's the difference. If they do make the playoffs, they don't have Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson has been huge in the past, in the postseason for the Green Bay Packers. So now what do you do? You can't just say, well, Randall Cobb, you got it. Like, if I know it, if you know it, then everybody else knows it. So where do you
right.
get to now? Well, you got to have some sort of running game. And even if it's, you know, death by screen pass, then that's what you do. You have to change it up if you're Green Bay. You got to find ways to make things happen with who you have. And if it's Eddie Lacy on one side, James Starks on the other, then that's what Mike McCarthy decides to do. Then that's what's going to happen. So, you know, don't be surprised if you see stuff like that in the postseason. Or, you know, I mean, who's to say they won't go out and claim a wide receiver somewhere? I mean, I don't know. There's still a lot of time left, Sonny, before any playoff spots are being determined or just how things are going to look 7 weeks from now. So,
But if the playoffs ended today, I would have to imagine that, yes, they're going to have to find a way to get Eddie Lacy and Starks involved in the offense a whole lot more than what the Green Bay Packers have used in the past.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. Because if they don't get that running game figured out, it's going to be a problem towards the later of the season, and it will have an effect on how they play in the playoffs. I do believe that, and it's not because I'm a Packer hater. I'm not. I actually, the best quarterback in the NFL is Aaron Rodgers. Number two is really simple, okay? Number two is Tom Brady, okay, right now, okay? And the main reason is because of age. Right now, if you're just going on talent, right now Tom Brady's the better quarterback. But as far as where they are in their career and what's going on, Aaron Rodgers is the guy. But here's the thing. If you think about this, okay? All right. On Thanksgiving, Robert Griffin throws four touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, and when I think about what guys can do, and I go back to Jay Cutler when I say that, even though it was the Dallas Cowboy game and it wasn't the Packers, okay, remember what we talk about as far as these games are concerned. It's where they are mentally, in reality, into the game on what they are going to do. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting on how history plays a part of this game as well. You know, and frankly, I'll tell you what I'm actually shocked that they didn't do. Sign Brett Favre last night to a one-day contract, get him in there for one play in this football game. I'm actually surprised that didn't happen. That's how much I think that these guys have for Brett Favre, or if they offered it out, if he turned it down, I don't know. But, by the way, the butt fumble, you remember the butt fumble we were talking about? That happened on Thanksgiving Day. So I'm
right, that's why I referenced it, Sonny.
Yeah,
I
didn't realize it happened on Thanksgiving Day. I'm so glad you're up to par on things.
Well, no matter where I am, Sonny, one thing is for certain, I haven't gone insane just yet.
Not yet, anyway, right?
Right.
So, interesting stuff. I mean, I obviously have the Green Bay Packers winning this football game. I don't know. Was last week enough for you to think that they'll get past the Green Bay Packers today?
Of course not, Sonny. Green Bay's going to crush the Chicago Bears, and it's going to. It's going to be painful to watch, and I'm going to be drinking my tears, but, I hope not. That's what I don't want to see is them getting embarrassed. Even if they play a tough, close game like last week, just to say that they stood toe-to-toe with Green Bay at Lambeau Field on Brett Favre night, it's still a loss, but I'd feel better about it.
Interesting stuff going on. By the way, Ian Rappaport is coming out, okay? And we both have that. I want to switch to Ian Rappaport. I'm looking at NFL.com right now, and we were talking about Chip Kelly earlier in this. Chip Kelly's future in Philadelphia has come into question after two bad home losses, and the reports are that the college ranks are the biggest threat to lure Kelly away. Who are those teams do you think that are the ones that are first in line to grab up Chip Kelly after he's fired, after they don't make the playoffs?
I would have to say the two teams that would lure him away faster than any other teams would be the two teams that played in one of the most memorable national championships we've seen in recent memory, USC and Texas.
UFC?
Yes, sir.
So you're University of Florida Central is what you're saying?
No. Southern California.
USC. Okay. I was going to say, how would Florida have enough money to pay the guy? That would be the number one. So I'm glad. Okay, so USC and Texas. And I'll tell you, I think the one that's in the lead right now, I mean, if you're Chip Kelly, you're just salivating at what you get as far as recruiting just right there in Texas. The recruiting would be so
easy for him in reality. I mean, the best talent's coming out of Ohio and Texas when it comes to high school football. I mean, if you, we can argue that all day long, but that's where the talents are coming from. And it's Chip Kelly just right in the backyard of Texas, never mind the fact that they could pull some from Oklahoma. Oh, my goodness, it could get really – it could be something that works out perfect. And with Charlie Strong being, you know, rumored to be, headed out of Texas, which we thought that was a bad deal in the first place, it wouldn't surprise me.
And that's why I bring those two teams up, Sonny, because,
you know, you talk about programs that – would drop their coaches in a heartbeat grab a guy like Chip Kelly up. I mean, USC and Texas are two teams that are looking for a new coach, I'm sure, and that are prime markets in the area of the where they are in the country. So, I mean, it's almost like handing the keys to a Corvette. Or a Ferrari for Chip Kelly as opposed to going to like a LSU where you'll get a six-cylinder Mustang. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because chances are Les Miles is out of LSU after this season, if not before. You know, I don't know if you've heard that, but it's going to happen. LSU is done with Les Miles. He is not going to be the head coach of LSU. Starting next year, he won't be the coach.
Big news out of Seattle. Marshawn Lynch had surgery for a sports hernia, but can be out up to 6 weeks, depending on who you listen to as far as experts, from 3 to 6 weeks. I think this is a big hit for this football team. It almost tells me something as far as this football team is concerned for the playoffs. Right now at 5-5, there's no guarantee that Seattle Seahawks are going to make the playoffs. But at the same time, if he gets back to the field in time, that could be something very interesting going into the playoffs if the Seattle Seahawks figure out how to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's huge, Sonny, and I think they need Marshawn Lynch to be in there. That's going to be another team that really needs to rely on the shoulders of their running game. So,
yep.
We'll see what happens.
Thomas Rawls played pretty
well last week,
Cuervo.
Yeah, and that is true. However, Seattle needs to focus more on winning and getting in the playoffs.
Right.
So that's what their focus needs to be on. And, I guess you either lose Marshawn Lynch now for a couple weeks and get him back and fully healthy, or you take that chance and lose him for longer. So obviously Seattle's taking the safer route, which, why not?
Yep. Thomas Rawls, 30 carries, 209 yards and a touchdown. He ripped one off for 30, plus he caught three balls for 46 yards and a touchdown as well, 31 yards on that one. I mean, they are figuring out a way to get this young man the ball.
Absolutely, and that's what they should do. Don't go away from the running game just because you don't have Marshawn Lynch. You know, that's why you bring in good talent, and you bring in good depth because, injuries are going to happen whether you like it or not. So, good job by Seattle just plugging in the next guy.
Yep,
it's that simple.
4 minutes before we start NFL football here, as they are warming up over there in Detroit, as they're about ready to take the football field, Philadelphia Eagles. It's a really interesting situation as far as where this is. I'm wondering about what we're going to see out on the football field today. What will stand out? So we're going to look at and finish this game. If you're going to pick one thing that is sure to happen, what's going to happen today that's sure going to happen, Cuervo? I think I know where you're going to go.
Yeah, you probably do know. Mark Sanchez will throw an interception.
Exactly. Now, the one one I'm thinking about happening is that I think a 50 burger does happen up in Lambeau. I just can't, unless Jay Cutler, you know, has figured out a way to get to this thing, it's kind of crazy. So sure thing to happen, I think a 50 burger with everything that's going on.
Oh, you're talking
about
for overall. All the
yeah, over all the teams. Yeah, over all the teams.
Okay. I thought you were just talking about the Eagles Lions. Well, what I know is going to happen for sure today out of all the games.
Yes.
I'm going to say that, well, not only does Mark Sanchez throw an interception, but I think Dez Bryant gets in the end zone today. I think he's a guy that. You know, he's a big time. He's a gamer, Sonny. You could say what you want about Dez Bryant. He shows up in big games, though.
It's interesting because my interesting was number two, and it's exactly the same, but totally the opposite. I'm going to say the thing that's going to happen: Dez Bryant gets injured today. I'm going to tell you just really, you know, those. That secondary of the Carolina Panthers, they're mean. And I will tell you, if Dez Bryant does not go out there, okay, to play, if he plays cautious, he could get hurt today. There's just something about that Carolina secondary and Dez Bryant and the way he didn't go up and go back for that ball where on that last play of that game that they lost before Tony Romo came back. Something tells me that we're seeing Dez Bryant not at 100%, and there is going to be something huge that happens in that game. And I think it's not the fact that the Dallas Cowboys win. I think the thing that's huge is Dez Bryant's going to get hurt again. And that cannot be good for the Dallas Cowboys, especially as they are moving forward, trying to make that run for the NFC East championship. You know, trophy, and I don't know. I don't know if they're going to get it, but something tells me that we see Dez Bryant go down. So I love it. Things that we won't see, football related. Not that we won't see people eating turkey on the sidelines or anything, but football related. What will we not see?
We will not see. Oh, boy. I would say we will not see a turducken.
Say that again?
We will not see a turducken. Only because John Madden doesn't announce games anymore.
Mine, as far as football is on there, what we won't see, I don't think we see Eddie Lacy in the end zone. That was the one that thing I was looking at. I don't think we see Eddie Lacy in the end zone at all today. I think they're going to figure out a different way to get it done. Go ahead.
You know what you won't see? You will not see Matt Forte finish the game against Green Bay tonight.
That was my second one. And that may be because they're going to be losing so bad that they don't want to risk it, or just more in the fact that he does get hurt.
He's going to re-injure himself. I think it's too soon for him to be playing, but I understand why. I mean, it's Green Bay.
Right.
You know, you want to ruin the night for them, you know, with Brett Favre there and stuff. So, but it's at a risk, I think. So I don't think Matt Forte finishes the game healthy.
It's going to be real interesting on what's going on. So, well, Cuervo, we did it. We did an hour and a half. We spent the extra time on each and every game instead of speeding through like we do on a Sunday. We'll have a little more time to talk about the games this Sunday as well. But that's going to do it for us here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. I hope you have a good Thanksgiving meal out there wherever you are. And make sure you get an opportunity to say hi to the wife sometime today if you haven't already done so.
I have, Sonny, already. And don't worry, I'm going to go get a nice, you know, big pile of Thanksgiving food right now. And I'll even send you a picture.
There we go.
I'll show you what I got out here. So it'll be good. You know, just because I'm not in the U.S. doesn't mean I still can't enjoy some turkey and some football. I will always find a way to do that.
Definitely. So that's going to do it for us here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Thanks for joining us. We will see you again this Saturday as the Rowlett Eagles are making their way down to Baylor in the third round of the playoffs. You'll hear that live coverage here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. So we'll keep a good thought for my team. And then on Sunday, we'll turn right around to do it on Sunday morning. Hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving. Have a good day. Enjoy the games. We'll catch you later, everybody. Bye-bye.